But I haven't had lunch yet, but I could go for some cowbell for all the people who donated.
Let's do it. I'm going to give a K-moo for that.
I could ring that cowbell a million times and not get sick of it. And I say that number specifically because maybe by the millionth and first time, I might be like, all right, maybe I'll set the cowbell down.
We have a little one, too.
Oh, yeah, more than one. But for now, like, cowbell around, perfect for this eight-day membership. We have, people on the phones taking your calls for one-time donations. We recommend calls for one-time. We recommend 625. We recommend 625. One-time donation of $75. And the number again is 877-500-8572-500.
We make it easy. You can use your credit card. The main thing is just calling us and spending $300 on the phone or clicking on paypal.me. I'll give you that phone number again. 877-500-8572-66-star-2-star-6-star. Not looking at a computer screen. They're just posting you and filling out. They're just carbon copy form. 877-500-8572-66. That's you. That's right now. 66. That's you. That's right now.
And welcome to Words and Pictures, the show all about the narrative arts scene. I'm your host, S.W. Conser, and today we are live in the studio with the creative team behind a comics title that's really taken off lately. It's the Southern Gothic series, Harrow County. Artist Tyler Crook is here in the studio, and writer Cullen Bunn is with us on the phone from Missouri. Tyler and Cullen, thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Well, hey, I'd like to jump right in and talk about this new project, Harrow County, which has become a real phenomenon. But first, I want to mention that we are currently in the middle of our winter membership drive. So if you out there have been enjoying the programming this morning, we want to offer you the opportunity to join KBOO and take home, as a thank you gift, a three-volume set of these here Harrow County books. There are only three sets of these books that Dark Horse has generously provided to us. They can collect the first 12 comics in the Harrow County series. Tyler was just signing them just before we went on, so don't wait. Mm-hmm. Call 877-500-KBOO and become a member of your community radio station. So, hey, Harrow County, this is a place of hills and hollows and hidden things set somewhere in the American South. I'm going to go with North Carolina just because I've got cousins living down there in the Blue Ridge, and the landscape there looks just like Harrow County. So, Cullen, you grew up in the Piedmont, right, of North Carolina. That area has become very trendy lately.
Yeah. I grew up all around North Carolina, but yeah, that was that's where I called my home for most of my young life.
And Harrow County is, as you portray it, it's a very rural community. Seems like a Depression era South, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right on when you say North Carolina. I've always said it's rural North Carolina. So you're right on.
And the protagonist in the story is a teenage girl named Emmy Crawford. She lives with her dad on a farm, just the two of them. So Emmy leads a sheltered life, but she's plucky. She reminds me of like some of the Miyazaki heroines in some of the Studio Ghibli anime films. She's very plucky.
Yeah, you know, I'd never really thought about that, but I think that's a pretty good correlation. I think the thing I like about Emmy is she lives in this world of these really dark and mysterious creatures, and she faces everything with instead of being afraid and falling victim to this mounting darkness, she kind of approaches everything with these eyes of wonder. And that's one of the things I think sets her apart from a lot of characters in this kind of story.
Yeah. One of the things that's got people talking about this book is and this is a continuing story, ongoing story. It's the psychological depth of the characters, even the minor ones. You know, everything's a little bit off kilter in this world, but you clearly want readers to relate.
Yeah, I think that's important. especially in a, you know, while I don't necessarily consider this a horror story, I see it more as a fairy tale, really, like a dark fairy tale. But I think in that kind of story, I feel like readers have to you know, feel for these characters in order to be afraid for them. So that's something that we really are striving for with every issue and every new character we introduce, regardless of how, you know, important they may seem to the story.
Yeah, what you said about not just a horror comic. I mean, people have been calling Harrow County a Southern Gothic horror story, but there's definitely elements of fantasy and science fiction making their way in here. You know, I think there's something in here for fans of J.K. Rowling and maybe even Philip K. Dick. Without giving too much away, I'm thinking of like Philip K. Dick stories like We Can Remember It For You Wholesale, where the characters can't be sure of their own autonomy or even whether right. their memories are their own.
Yeah, for sure. It's you know, on the surface, and if you look at Tyler's very first cover, I mean, I remember when we were trying to promote the book at a convention, and fans were coming up and seeing posters of Tyler's first cover, which is extremely creepy. there were people kind of backing off from it, saying it might be too scary for them. And there are definitely scary moments, but I don't think we approach it as a straightforward, you know, horror story. This is, I mean, there are elements of horror, but there are also, you know, a lot of fantasy elements, a lot of fairy tale elements, and yeah, I guess to some degree some science fiction elements. Although I don't necessarily know that I ever think about this book with science, you know, as a science fiction story, but yeah, there are characters who are finding their lives manipulated in ways that they cannot be sure what's real and what's not.
Right, and you were saying, Colin, that so much of your script depends on the artwork. You clearly have a lot of trust in Tyler's ability to capture the expressions of the characters, all the nuances, because that's so important in the story.
Absolutely, absolutely. This, you know, this book it leans so heavily on the visual aesthetic that Tyler brought to it. You know, and this is a story I've been thinking about for a long time. For years and years before Tyler and I even started working on it as a comic, but now I can't see it any other way except what Tyler has done with it.
Right. Well, so Tyler, you're still kind of a young artist, but you are really fond of the old school techniques. You know your way around the digital toolbox clearly, but where you really excel is with the loose inks and the watercolors.
Yeah. Well, you know, before I did comic books, I was working in the video game industry, and I did that for like 12 years. So one of the reasons why Harrow County is watercolors is sort of a reaction to that, wanting to get as far away from my computer as I possibly can, you know?
Yeah, well, when you're working with watercolors, though, I mean, anything can happen. They have a mind of their own, and there's no delete or undo option.
Yeah, no, I describe it to a lot of people as sort of a controlled fall. You know, you just sort of put the paint down and hope that it falls in the way you want it to, and you try to get it to run the right way.
Well, it really pays off in some of the landscapes where dappled light is coming through the trees, interior spaces with candlelight, layers of shadow at night. Sometimes you layer black on top of black.
There's a lot of layering going on. You know, I think that's one of the things that watercolor does really well is sort of get mood and light in a way that you know, you could probably get with oil paint, but who has time to oil paint a comic book, you know?
Well, you know, Bill Sienkiewicz, who is one of my favorite, I mean, I'm just reminded, some of your stuff reminds me of the great comics artists of the late 20th century who are elder statesmen now, and Bill Sienkiewicz would use collage elements, oil paints, toothbrush spatter.
No, his stuff, you know, we were talking a little bit before we started the show, but he was definitely an influence. Like, his Electra Assassin was a really important book for me. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's like his influence is not so much me wanting to sort of cop his style in any way, but just wanting to get that same sort of beautiful page down that he could get.
And you also like the really loose ink style of Milton Caniff.
Yeah, yeah,
who
a lot of the classic
Steve
guys.
Canyon and, yeah.
And Frank Robbins is another good guy. Elijah, oh man, what's his name? There's you know, there's so many of those guys sort of in the 50s and 60s who are doing brush inking, and those guys are like, those guys I actually, you know, try to steal techniques from.
It just looks so warm and dynamic. Well, you know, there are some really surprising artistic choices in the book that obviously you, Tyler, and you, Cullen, teamed up on, and it's fun. Like, fairly early on, Emmy stumbles onto an old forgotten graveyard where the spirits are restless. And the ghosts, it's really interesting not to see them all bluish and diaphanous. They're all rendered in warm colors.
That was sort of exactly like what you just said. Like, you would sort of expect them to be bluish and diaphanous. And I was less like, I got to do something that's different. You know, I want to make them go sort of against expectation. So making them sort of flaming was my solution.
Yeah, they were really passionate, and that just comes through. Well, I guess we call them haints in the book.
Yeah.
And there's one character. Well, originally, Cullen, your prose story that this came out of, it was called, what was it? Endless Haints?
Countless Haints.
Countless Haints.
Yeah.
And there's one character, one haint, who just seems creepy as hell, but becomes strangely charming. That's the Skinless Boy.
Yeah, the Skinless Boy has been around for as long as this story's been around for me. Is this creature that he kind of exists in two forms. One is this flayed skin, which Emmy, as I said, she approaches everything a little differently than normal people would. You know, she actually finds this flayed skin out in the briar bushes, and she takes it on almost like a witch's familiar. And then the other side is the body of this boy that is crawling around, you know, without a skin, crawling all around Harrow County, and whatever it sees, the skin can relay back to Emmy. So it's that weird creature has been in my mind, you know, for this story, you know, like at the earliest stages.
Yes, we're introduced to the Skinless Boy when Emmy is just starting to realize there's something odd about her and just coming to terms with it.
Yeah, it's a turning point in her life. I mean, she's on the verge of her 18th birthday, and she, like I said, she's always known something is weird when it comes, you know, that there are weird things out in Harrow County, but she has never realized how deeply she's connected to those things. She's just now starting to come to that to those realizations, and it really kind of turns her life upside down.
Well, Tyler, what did you think when Cullen wrote the Skinless Boy into the story? I mean, it seems like he's incredibly challenging to draw. It's all anatomy, but, you know, maybe a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, no, he's definitely fun. I think I was originally kind of nervous about drawing him just because the flayed skin, I worried, would just look silly. You know,
it looks creepy.
But I've sort of found, one of the things I really enjoy about doing with the flayed skin portion of the Skinless Boy is getting him to be his own character and sort of emote as he sort of like wriggles around the room and like, you know, gets into mischief in, you know, climbing out of Emmy's bag and stuff. That stuff is really fun. And, you know, the thing about the Skinless Boy that I think is really neat is not just that it's sort of a creepy, monsterish idea of something to look at, but it's also sort of like, I sort of think of it as haint tech. You know, it's sort of like this tool that Emmy has in her toolbox to help move the story around in interesting ways.
Yeah, he's sort of, sometimes he's a bit of a deus ex machina, you know, coming in to save the day. But at the same time, he's got a backstory of his own, and he's a very moving sort of character. You're listening to Words and Pictures, I'm your host, S.W. Conser, and I'm joined in the studio today by artist Tyler Crook and on the phone by writer Cullen Bunn. They're the team behind the Dark Horse comic series Harrow County. And we've been talking about the protagonist of Harrow County. It's Emmy Crawford. And, you know, the as the book goes on, as the story goes on, Just when our hero, Emmy, seems to have a handle on all the weirdness behind the facade of Harrow County, you know, suddenly this world expands again. Cullen, the reveals are, they're parceled out very deliberately, you know, very slowly. We don't know any more than the characters know.
Yeah, with a character like Emmy, who is, you know, she's... Once you get down to it, she's very powerful. She has a lot of power in her young life, you know, in her young hand. And the world is still challenging to her because she understands so little of it. And one of the things that Tyler and I really wanted to make sure we were doing is we never want Emmy and we never want the reader to feel like they fully get it, that they know exactly what's happening. So, you know, just when Emmy, you know, figures out who she is, or so she thinks, we start introducing other characters and other elements that really show that she has no idea what's going on, really, and that that her life is still very much a mystery.
Right, and we find all manner of supernatural beings, and and it's interesting. Some of them, they have backstories a reader might not expect at first. They come in and you think they're horrific, and then you find out, you know, maybe they turn, maybe they're not as not as all powerful or not as evil as you imagined.
Yeah, that's something that's pretty important to me, is showing these. Even these characters who seem, extremely, extremely dark, extremely evil, I wanted to show off that there are other aspects to them, and that these characters have gone through a number of changes and a number of trials before we've ever seen them on the in the pages of this series.
Now, Emmy's job in this whole, she's thrown into this whole situation, and this is all so new to her, but her job is to stay true to herself. And especially when some authority figure, some, you know, either earthly or supernatural authority figure gets patronizing with her, you know, tries to tell her, yeah, this is how things are.
she's not a fan of being told how things are. I think I've described it maybe even in scripts that she, like Shirley Temple, she puts her hands on her fists on her hips. She stands up to these forces that are these people and these forces that are in some cases much, much older than her. She takes no guff.
Mm-hmm. Now, Tyler, you were saying when you drew Emmy, I mean, you really worked hard on these various character designs. And one of the things you wanted to do was, you know, show her as this very innocent farm girl, this sort of happy-go-lucky character in one moment, but also, you know, this sort of dark pall, this very intense kind of concentration could come over her face, and she has the potential to really, you know, let loose with some crazy stuff.
Yeah, no, like, I think with the initial design of Emmy, a lot of what I was drawing from was, like, Alice in Wonderland kind of ideas, sort of, and stuff like that. So that was sort of her initial thing. But one of the things about the world is that things are bright and happy, and things are also super dark. You know, it's just like real life. There's a huge, you know, variety of experiences that everyone gets to go through. So one of the things I try to do with her is when she gets really upset, I try to make her look really upset, you know? Like, there's a lot of comics where especially with female characters, where they're always beautiful no matter what, and they never ugly cry. And I try to, you know, there's a couple good ugly cries in this book.
Oh, nice. Yes, yes. You know, there's a film that came out not too long ago. It was called The Witch. It was directed by Robert Eggers, his first feature, I think. And so what Eggers did, he found these journals that the Puritans had written, the settlers who came over from Europe to New England. He took these actual accounts and records from the 1600s and did a straight adaptation of all these supernatural claims. So, you know, the film was very creepy and unsettling. You know, as a viewer, you're really plunked down in this alien landscape and mindset. And and back before commercial logging, there were some really deep, dark woods in this country. Tyler, you live in the Coast Range of Oregon, so you got some great deep, dark, rainy woods right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in the minds of the newcomers to this land, the European settlers, the wilderness was a terrifying place, a place, you know, you might not come back from, a place of impurity.
Yeah, no, the forests are sort of a labor of love. They, you know, I spend a lot of time in this book drawing trees, and Cullen writes a lot of trees. And so I like, you know, I really enjoy it. I like trying to find the character of the trees and trying to find a way to lead you through them that make you feel, you know, at sometimes inspired by their beauty and other times like claustrophobic by the way they, you know, sort of reach in at you. And
The story begins with a tree as a dream character, basically.
Yeah.
A big old tree.
Yeah. You know, should I say it? Is it that the forest is a character in the book?
There's definitely some, yeah. Cullen, you're saying
trees have always terrified me. There's something that scares me about trees, and I spend a lot of time in the woods, but I think old trees are really scary. I think that comes across in Harrow County more than any other book that I've done is there's obviously these trees have a big menacing role.
Now, one thing that our listeners can look forward to is there's a television series based on Harrow County that's in development for the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yes.
Yeah, they're working hard on it.
Are they consulting you guys, both of you guys?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's cool. So what can we expect from that? Is it going to be pretty true to form? Do you know any more information we can reveal, or do we have to keep it under wraps right now?
Well,
think we have to keep, yeah. I think it's in early stages, and we have to keep a lot under wraps. I mean, I think it's safe to say there's lots of things. There are things that would change with a TV show. You know, there's things that work, you know, better on television than they necessarily do in comics. And so there are changes, but I feel like they are doing, you know, they're really, the people who are behind it, Becky Kirsch, who's writing the pilot and has been working on the pilot for a while now, is very, you know, she's a fan of the book, and she wants, you know, to make sure that the tone and feel of Harrow County, the comic, comes across in the TV show.
Wow. So, I think people can really look forward to that. Maybe a year or so down the line. Is that right?
You know, it's still early to say, really. Yeah.
Well, in the meantime, we've got the book. And the book is Harrow County from Dark Horse Comics. The writer joining us on the phone from Missouri is Cullen Bunn. And the artist here in the studio is Tyler Crook. So Tyler and Cullen, we've run out of time, but if you can stick around and chat for a few more minutes, we'd love to find out more about some of your other projects and maybe some more inside dope about the TV adaptation. Can you stick around a little while?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Okay, great. We're going to put that extra audio up on the KBOO website a little later today for our listeners to access. The Words and Pictures archive page can be found at kboo.fm/words and pictures. Thanks to everybody who's called in during Words and Pictures today and started or renewed their membership with KBOO. Once again, you can still become a member and get a fabulous new set of graphic novels signed by Tyler delivered to your door. They're a great Valentine's Day gift. My friends Kyle and Teresa are joining me right now, and they've got all the details. So hello, you two. How's it been going so far today?
It's been going great so far. Great so far.
Yeah. We are here, and I'm glad to say that, yes, people are responding to KBOO Community Radio and doing it by calling 877-500-5266. Earlier, I was mentioning you can also join us at kboo.fm, where you may be listening to us right now. Just open up a tab and hit that little button that says donate. There is another way that you can come in, which I didn't quite get around to mentioning, and that is you can actually drop in. And we're at 20 Southeast 8th. That's just on the east side, across from Burnside and the Burnside Bridge, across from the mighty Willamette River. And you could just come in, and we have copies of Harrow County right now, and the author is here and ready to sign them. This is a signed three book set by Tyler Crook and Cullen Bunn, Harrow County, volumes 1-3 of the ongoing series Harrow County. And I actually have looked at every page of these, and it was creepy, and I was thrilled. And Kyle can tell you a lot more about it.
Oh, not a whole lot more. I found out about it today, but it's just, I'm flipping through it, and it's really, yeah, it's just, it looks really compelling. And in the interview, Tyler Crook was discussing the technical aspect of painting the pages, and in the back of one of these books, it shows, like, the painting process and on display. So if you're interested in that aspect of the book, or in comic making in general, it's just a clear expose of how the book was physically made. And also on the front, there's a quote from Matt Kind, who penned Mind Management. It says that in Harrow County, the writing and art work hand in hand, and that Harrow County is how you do horror comics.
Well, that's the truth. I mean, I've enjoyed my partner Ani turned me on to horror comics, and it's funny, they had quite an effect on me. I just was unfamiliar with them, and the first time I read through, you know, a graphic novel length horror comic, I had nightmares. Oh my gosh, those images came back.
Pretty nightmarish.
This is pretty nightmarish. But boy, what fun that is. And you can have, as we were saying, you can have your own signed 3-book set drop-in or call us. Now, let me give you the number. It's 877-500-5266. 877 is our toll-free prefix. You can call us from anywhere in the, gosh, I don't even know how far, but it's a long ways and probably longer than the actual transmitted signal. 877-500-KABU, 877-500-5266. Now, we have a group of people waiting for your call. They can't hear you calling this instant because you can't hear yourself calling this instant because we have a delay, and so it's physically impossible. We'll know when you actually hear, when you hear the ring, that's not us being silly with a recording. Pardon me, that's the phone actually ringing. And as I've mentioned before, we don't have computers in front of them. We don't spend extra money where we don't have to. And we just have a triplicate form. We fill that out. And you can pay any way you want. You can pay with a credit card, and a lot of people do. And you could set up $6.25 a month, which is a great, great little tag onto your bank account, because it's quick and easy. We're talking about 3 minutes on the phone. Talking about you calling 877-500-5266. You know, Kyle, one of the things I love about this radio station is this homemade attenuator that I always notice when I'm doing a pledge break here. It's like there's a patch bay next to me. It's got these big clunky quarter-inch cords on it.
Right.
And the reason we have this is not because, you know, we're just dedicated to having outmoded equipment. It's just the stuff works, you know. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but one of these cords evidently picked up a fair amount of static at some time in its life, just because of the nature of it, and the who's he what's us, and the engineers know and I don't. But they built a homemade and soldered together attenuator made of plastic and strips of metal, and it's just ugly and cool, and it's kind of what we do.
It's still an impressive piece of equipment, yeah. I must say. I'm looking at it right now.
And, you know, it does the job, so it's going to be there forever, pretty much. We are your community radio station. We are dedicated to making it happen, not pulling in big salaries, not walking up the corporate ladder. Doesn't happen much here at all. Really, I mean, there's an exception. If you want to volunteer for the news department, I will name some people right now. Emily Harris, that you hear around the world reporting from Russia, reporting from Middle East. She started at KBOO Radio. Yes, she did. Mr. Fodenvinsel, that you hear on OPB. He started at KBOO. He was trained here. We are a 501c3 educational institution. We would love to give you free training, so you can just come on down and find out how to do that, or look us up. I'm not going to give you that number right now because I want you to donate. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. 877, that's you, 500 right now. 5266 spells KABU. 877-500-KABU. 877-500-5266. These comics are waiting for your eager hands and eyeballs.
Yeah, and they're talking about, like, using warm colors on how they portrayed the ghouls. And I was flipping through it, and it was just like skeletons on fire. And it's just like, just it's even jarring just like looking at it, not even like reading it like in a dark place in your bed or something by candlelight. So yeah, these really are a treat. Signed by Tyler Crook in a silver Sharpie, and it's sparkly, so you know it's real. Yeah. Also, you were mentioning the news earlier. Well, we have some thank yous of people who donated to KABU.
And you are a volunteer for the news, and I thank you for that.
Oh, yeah, of course. I'm actually volunteering today. But yes, two thank yous real quick. We have Eric from Southeast Portland and Christine from Southwest Portland, who said that KABU is her main source of information. Well, if that's not worth flailing around a cowbell, I don't know what is.
Hey.
Moo.
Ah, yes. If you also want to donate some cows, you can also come by the station, or maybe not donate the cow. We don't have anywhere to...
Careful. It's been done.
Has it really?
Yeah, pig.
Since I'm kidding, because I'm not expecting it, but yeah, we used to...
KBU is also a petting zoo.
We used to have... that used to be a pledge premium many years ago, and it kind of worked and kind of didn't for a while.
Ah, nice.
877-552-66, 877-552-66. And as I was saying, you can volunteer here. Pardon me. Pardon my phlegm. I'm Flemish today, and you can volunteer. That's one way to contribute. You can... tag us at kboo.fm. Just open up another tab and do your thing. You know how to do that. You can call us at 877-552-66, or you can just drop on in and see what's happening. And we have food that we would love to share with you coming in on a more or less continuous basis from local restaurants who support us. And, you know, for example, I don't have the official list in front of me, but we are just down the street from Grindle's, and Grindle's is always helping us out. And I'm just really grateful to Eric at Grindle's. And I was just there saying, well, it's pledge drive again. It's membership drive. And Eric was saying, oh, we got to give you more coffee, because Eric is always giving us coffee.
I was wondering why this coffee was so good. Yeah, this is like, no, this is, we is don't some carefully brewed stuff right here.
Yeah, so the number to call, 877-500-5266, 877-500-KBU, 877-500-5266, and I'm getting a look that kind of tells me we got some more programming ready, and it's time to go to that programming. Is that correct? Let's see if the look... Oh, I got
that's
the thumbs
a,
up. Okay,
thumbs
so
up,
let's go to more KBOO programming.
And that's 877-500-5266. All right, take it away.
This is Love Jones, producer of the world-famous confessional. This year, Contessa de la Luna brings you a real bona fide Wild West jamboree and variety show. We've got live performances by Contessa de la Luna and Courtney Vondrell from Three Leg Torso, plus audience lasso contests,